Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Dr. Richard Weikart, who's a professor of history at one of the California state schools, and he's the author of a book called Hitler's Religion. He may be best known for his work From Darwin to Hitler. Richard Weikart, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jerry.
Okay, I'd like to focus today, since we've already kind of gotten an overview, and just for those who might have missed it, basically your conclusion from all your research is that Hitler's religion, for all practical purposes, was a belief in nature, that nature is God, nature which is red in tooth and claw.
That's right.
Okay, let's talk about the milieu, the religious milieu of Germany, of Austria, around the time that Hitler was a young man in the pre-Nazi era, and then, of course, during the Nazi era.
Yeah, this is interesting because there's a lot of people who will pose the question to me, which is a legitimate question, as to why is it that Germany, which was a ostensibly Christian nation, you know, could have perpetrated these things. Even if Hitler himself was not personally Christian, many people in Germany identified themselves as Christian, so how could they have gone along with this? How could this have happened? And it's a legitimate question. It's a very complex question, but part of the answer to it is that the religious milieu in Germany was extremely liberal theologically, especially in the Protestant churches, and that's where Hitler got most of his support. If you look at the breakdown religiously in how the votes were cast for the Nazi Party, for example, in the year 1932 and 33, where they came to power, it was overwhelmingly support from the Protestant regions of Germany. The Catholic regions were much more reticent toward Hitler. And I think that's in part because, in some ways, they were more conservative theologically. That is, many Catholics still believed in some of the basic truths of Christianity that many of the Protestants had given up on already by this time. I mean, liberal Protestantism came from Germany, from the German schools, and in the 19th century, liberalism was permeating the German theology schools and thus the pastors of many of the Protestant churches, and this was filtering down. And so by the early 20th century, there were vast numbers of German Protestants who didn't believe the most basic teachings about Christianity, such as that Jesus did any miracles, including the resurrection from the dead. And so a lot of this was cultural Christianity or nominal Christianity that was in Germany at the time.
Wow. So even though, let's say, millions were Lutherans, in reality, they didn't believe what Luther believed.
Oh, correct. Yeah. I mean, they were far from Luther's beliefs. Now, again, there were some that still had retained a faith in Christ, but they were a pretty small minority in the overall structure of things in Germany, especially in the Protestant church.
Well, then when we hear about people like Bonhoeffer or Martin Niemöller or, you know, those people, those pastors that didn't go along with the Nazi program, these would be among those that were, let's say, in the evangelical side of things that did believe in some of the basics. Is that right?
Well, we need to differentiate here a little bit, too, because Karl Barth, who was really the most famous theologian in early 20th century Germany completely, and who did oppose Nazism, founded a movement that some people have referred to as neo-orthodoxy, although the term is, he didn't like that term. And it doesn't. Some don't like to use that terminology, but Barth and together with some others like Bonhoeffer did, as the term neo-orthodoxy suggests, lead a movement back toward more orthodox ways of thinking about Christianity. However, there's also this neo part of it too, where Barth and Bonhoeffer and Bultmann and a number of other German theologians who sometimes are identified as neo-Orthodox did not necessarily believe in the historicity of all of the elements of Scripture. So they believed they had this dualistic view of Scripture. They believed it was true religiously, that everything in Scripture was true in some sense, but they didn't necessarily think it was true empirically in every sense. So yes, Barth and Bonhoeffer, who opposed Nazism, were certainly more orthodox in their theology than the liberals who they opposed, But I wouldn't call them evangelicals. They certainly weren't evangelicals in the American sense of the term.
Hmm. Well, okay, what percentage would you say, roughly, let's say 1932, what percentage of Germany would be, could be classified as evangelicals? And I suppose you'd have to put into that category conservative Catholics that would, you know, adhere to the basics of the gospel, you know, that Jesus Christ is divine, that he died for sinners, you know, the Bible is the word of God, you know, the basics.
Yeah, and the Catholic Church probably had a much higher percentage, actually. The Catholic Church's population in Germany was about 30%. They were about 30% of the German population in 1932-33. And probably a large number of them did believe the basics, although not all, of course. In the Protestant Church, you know, which comprised somewhere around two-thirds of the German population, you know, it's very difficult for me to put out kind of percentage, but I'm kind of guessing it's less than 25%, and might be considerably less than that. I mean, it's difficult to give, put a percentage on this.
Wow. Okay, what would you say to those who say something like this? Well, Hitler was a Christian. What is your comment? Here you've written this book, Hitler's Religion, this new book. Everybody needs to read this book, but, you know, what would you, how would you respond?
Yeah, in my book, Hitler's Religion, I actually have a whole chapter that's entitled, you know, Was Hitler a Christian? And then I have also a separate chapter on Did Hitler Want to Destroy the Christian Churches? And the only way you can really make out Hitler to be a Christian, which is what some atheists do try to do, is if you simply look at some of his public statements where he said that, for instance, in April 1922, he makes a statement where he says that Jesus is that he is Lord and Savior, and just ignore everything that he said in private about Christianity, because when he used the word Christianity himself in private, he continually spoke negatively about Christianity, and he even called it a Jewish Bolshevik institution. He completely rejected the Old Testament as being a Jewish. He rejected the most of the New Testament, including Paul's writings, because he thought Paul was a sneaky rabbi that had corrupted Christianity from the very start. So anything that would be that we would think of as identifying as Christianity, he was against. And if you look at how he interacted with the churches, he was willing to, for propaganda purposes, to not try to push too hard against the Christian churches if he didn't think he could get away with it. But when he thought he could get away with it, he did, in fact, try to persecute the churches, certainly if they tried to do anything that impinged on his ideology or policies or anything like that. And when you look at what he did, just to give an example of this, I could give a lot of examples, but just one kind of example. During World War II, as the German cities were being bombed and destroyed, Hitler and some of his favorite architects like Albert Speer would draw up these plans for what the cities were going to look like after World War II. Guess what was not in the new cities that they were going to build?
Churches.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. There were no churches, and Hitler made it clear he didn't want any of the churches rebuilt after World War II that had been bombed out unless they were such spectacular architectural, you know, really had such magnificent architectural features that they really sort of had to do it just for the architectural to sort of save that. But he certainly didn't want churches to be there for people to gather to worship. And, of course, if you look through during the Nazi period, too, the Hitler Youth was scheduling their Hitler Youth activities on Sunday mornings. Hitler, during the Nuremberg rallies, which were week-long rallies that the Nazis would have, never went to church on Sunday morning. They had their own festivities on Sunday morning. You know, so constantly he's trying to push Christianity to the margins of society and really trying to indoctrinate people away from Christianity in whatever way he thought he could.
Okay, how are we to understand that 1922 statement where Hitler supposedly said, you know, I embrace Jesus as my Lord and Savior, something like that?
Yeah, well, Hitler does make a number of comments in the 1920s and even on into the early 1930s, right as he was coming into office in 1933, he made sort of positive comments about Christianity, although in 1933 he didn't actually make any personal confession of faith or anything. But the way we understand that is simply it was propaganda. He knew it was good for propaganda purposes. And if you look at the context of when he says that, he actually was responding to other politicians who had accused him of being anti-Christian. So these accusations of Hitler being anti-Christian go all the way back to the early 1920s. And so in that 1922 statement, he actually remarks about the statements of a Bavarian politician who had accused him and his anti-Semitic policies of not being Christian, and Hitler was saying, look, I'm a Christian too. And the same kind of thing happens, by the way, in this photograph, and I think I might have mentioned this in the last show that we talked about, but there's this photograph of Hitler coming out of a church where there's this cross right above his head that makes it look sort of like a halo, and Hitler's personal photographer took that shot and put it in a book, and the caption said, Hitler, the supposed heretic coming out of the Maria Church. So the idea is, look, I'm not a heretic. You know, I'm coming out of church here. But then they altered it later on after Hitler was ensconced in power and he didn't need to worry anymore about, you know, propaganda purposes, the religious issues. They airbrushed the cross out of the photo and changed the caption to say Hitler after sightseeing in the historic Maria Church. So it was clear he wasn't really going to church.
Isn't that interesting? So while Hitler's people were were airbrushing out Christian imagery from Hitler once he was in Wisconsin power, so also Stalin was airbrushing out pictures of Trotsky along with him and Lenin and so forth. Okay. We probably don't have enough time to do this justice, but just briefly, how about anti-Semitism? Where does the anti-Semitism in Hitler come from? And maybe we could do a whole segment on that, because it's just such a fascinating and a very important topic, especially with the resurgence of the popularity of Mein Kampf. 90,000 copies recently sold in Germany. What's going on?
Well, hopefully they're reading it just for historical purposes to try to avoid the things. The main edition that's being sold in Germany is a heavily edited version where historians have put lots of historical footnotes and things in, and they've done it in such a way that they're hoping it will steer people away from his ideology rather than toward it.
Yeah.
But you never know how these things are going to go in that respect.
Well, and I understand that it's a lot of Muslim people that are interested in this, and there isn't a lot of anti-Semitism. I mean, honestly, among jihadist type people, when it comes to that, not that the church has a good record either when it comes to anti-Semitism, but I think there's been tremendous improvements in the last several decades. But Hitler and anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and I think you're right that Christianity has improved pretty considerably in that respect. But of course, if you go back into the medieval times, there was a lot of prejudice against Jews. Most of it was based on religious and cultural differences, however, but it grew into, over the course of the Middle Ages and the early modern period, it grew into a lot of stereotypes of the Jews, and these are going to get carried on to Nazi ideology. So I don't, in my book, Hitler's Religion, I don't give a Christianity, historic kind of Christianity, traditional Christianity out of medieval times. I don't just give them a free pass. I do admit that, yes, there are things that came out of there that did feed into Nazi ideology ultimately. However, there's also a key turn that took place in anti-Semitic thought in the middle of the 19th century, especially by the 1870s, where secular-minded anti-Semites began reinterpreting these stereotypes of the Jews and such, and considering them to be biological characteristics rather than issues of religion and culture, which many people before that time had thought. It became issues of biology, and that became a crucial difference, because the key thing that most Germans before the early mid-19th century, the key thing that most Germans wanted the Jews to do was to assimilate, convert, become a Christian.
Yeah.
If you're Catholic, become a Catholic. If you're Protestant, become a Protestant, and live among us. And once you have been baptized, then you'll be accepted into society, and you'll be on par with everyone else. For the most part. Now, there were a few exceptions. This in Spain, there was a situation for a time in the Middle Ages where that was not the case necessarily, but for most part, that was what was expected. We want you to assimilate into society and be like the rest of us. However, by the mid-19th century, when it becomes this sort of biological version of anti-Semitism, then assimilation is actually the worst thing that could happen. Wow. You don't want them to assimilate because the idea is that their sort of negative genetic traits or hereditary traits are going to be then brought into the German gene pool. And so these things like deception, sexual lasciviousness and greed, and these things are considered to be biological traits by these new kind of biological anti-Semites. And Hitler's going to imbibe this secularized version of anti-Semitism, which means that the only solution is to get rid of the Jews one way or the other, kick them out of the country, which is what they started doing in the 1930s originally, and then once they took over vast numbers of them during World War II, then ultimately extermination.
How evil. And I know you go into great detail on that in your previous book, From Darwin to Hitler, showing how basically they're trying to speed up evolution. Well, we're out of time for this segment. I would love to have you back on to discuss this further. This is Richard Weikart, W-E-I-K-A-R-T, Hitler's Religion. DarwinToHitler.com is your website, correct? All right, for more information. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye now. Bye.